Welcome to The Scarlet Edit, where we talk about affairs, divorces, situationships, and everything in between. I'm your host, Nikki Corbett, and I created this space so no woman ever feels alone in her experience. So grab a drink, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Elizabeth, how are you? It's great to see you. Welcome to The Scarlet Edit.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here and to get into all of the dating and relational things.
I know. I am too. This is such a cool new adventure for me. I'm so excited and I feel like I'm already starting to grow a community and an audience and I want them to be excited to listen and to watch and to engage. So thank you for being here in the early, early days.
I am honored and I feel like this is obviously something that touches everyone. So yeah. You've got a strong, hungry audience for this, for sure.
Wow, thank you. One thing that, you know, I know some people were kind of like curious about is, okay, why? Like, why did I want to start a show like this? And I think that because like there's so much going on in the world as far as like dating and relationships goes, and I feel like things are moving at the speed of sound. And one day, this is the cool dating app. One day we're not doing dating apps. Social media has become a dating app. Everything is just so chaotic. And I feel like even keeping up with the terminology of what's going on in the world can be hard. I mean, when I first got out of my last relationship, I had not used dating apps ever. I did not understand lingo. I remember matching with this guy on Bumble and he was being so nice to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, maybe this is going to be easier than I thought. And then I'm showing one of my friends and she's like, he's love bombing you. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you have to learn it all from scratch in a way that wasn't in the collective discussion years and years ago when you and I were really divorced, or even 5 years ago was a different ballgame. 10 years ago, a completely different ballgame. When I first started dating post-divorce, I mean, I got divorced at 33. I think the only app at that time was Tinder. So we were all on Tinder. I know, at the risk of dating myself, but it's been that much of a journey. And I totally relate to what you're saying.
So a little backstory for the listeners. Elizabeth and I met in 2017. I had signed up to go on a yoga retreat and joke was on me because I get to said yoga retreat. First of all, let me set the stage. We were in the jungle of Panama. It could not have been more beautiful. We were practically the only people at this resort that we were staying at. It was about, what, like 30 yards from the beach. I mean, we were right there. There's monkeys in the trees. Like, it's the magical experience. And there was this treehouse that we got to do yoga in multiple times per day. And also, I should say, I had no idea it was going to be multiple times per day when I signed up for this. So the first night we're up there and as we're walking in, she's got her sage out. She's saging all of us, clearing our energy. And I'm like, this is cool. And there's all these people, maybe what was there, like 15, maybe 10, 11, something, somewhere in there. It wasn't a huge group. And so she has us all sit down on our yoga mats and we're going around the room, introducing ourselves and everyone's sharing their yoga experience. You guys, every single person in this treehouse was an avid yogi multiple times per week talking about their studio. And then it gets to me and I'm like, I haven't done yoga in about a year. And even that was, I'm not consistent. Don't necessarily love it, but I thought this would be good for me to come on because my divorce is going to be final sometime this week. And I just didn't want to be home. And everyone was like, that's cool. I'm like, okay, great.
100%. I remember that moment. And I was one, not only so glad that you were there with us,
aww,
but like, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. Because in those settings, yes, we're doing yoga and the physical piece is the least of it. The cathartic element of being out of your routine, out in nature, out in the world with other humans, there's like it demands a level of vulnerability. You're really just showing up raw in the middle of somewhere you've never been. Totally. We weren't roughing it by any means, but we were isolated and together. Yeah. It was almost like a reality show, fodder for a reality show, which—
Oh my gosh. No, it was so funny too, because, you know, like anytime you do a group trip, so if anyone has been on group trips, you know this well, it's like you find your people and of course you're kind and nice and you'll have conversations with everybody there, but it's like within the first 24 to 36 hours, you end up finding your people. And I know I definitely found my people because I was like, who wants to drink with me? Anyone? Okay, great.
Totally. I mean, what a perfect segue to talk about dating, right? Because it's a vulnerability piece. It's the ability to be quickly discerning in who you're connecting to. And in your instance, I think it's so important that we have a ritual post separation, breakup, divorce, or whatever, that's largely absent in this culture that is so heavy in the divorce rate. So you made it your own ritual, which I think is critical, and everybody's the better for it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I absolutely think so. I mean, I saw somebody sent me this meme, you know, just the other day, and it was from some comedian, and he was saying, like, I don't understand why people even get married anymore. If somebody were to hand you a parachute and say, jump out of this plane, and they were to say 50% of the parachutes end up opening, like, you wouldn't jump out of the plane. You'd be like, those odds suck. Why would I do this? And I was like, wow, that is a very interesting way to put it. And I'm certainly not bashing marriage by any means, but I mean, the data is the data, and way too many marriages fail.
I think that meme is hilarious in its accuracy. And, you know, I don't think anybody gets married anticipating a divorce.
No, not at all.
Speaks to like such hopefulness for better or for worse.
Yeah.
We're all romantics, right? For better or for worse.
Totally.
Yeah. I actually firmly now being like out in the dating world at the age of 45, believe being married previously myself and then in potential partners is such an asset. That's such a green flag, actually.
Okay. I mean, okay. Is
everything, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I find that interesting. And I do agree with you, because I think that it's like, it's somebody that has the knowledge of a relationship that got taken to that level, because, you know, I think that you're right. Like, I would say at least 99.5% of people like get married for the right reasons, right? You don't say, yeah, I'll do this. It's not like moving to a new city. Oh, I'll live there for 3 years and then I'll move back. It's, oh, I'll be married for 3 years and then I'll get divorced. No, you're getting married because you love the person and you want to build a life with them and you want to be a part of their world and grow something together. So yeah, so it is nice to date people who have had that experience and who kind of understand, and then also who have the ability to stop and like look backwards and reflect on where things fell apart and what they could actually do better.
That part, totally. And it's like you and I were chatting a little bit before we started recording around the vulnerability piece in dating, because I have never not sat across from somebody on a date in a dating dynamic in the early phase, whatever, and missed the realization that nobody at this point in life who's dating, who's single, mid to late 30s, 40s, and beyond, got here without going through it.
Yeah. Like,
nobody's out there dating in midlife with no backstory. So this is where then you're like, okay, how incredibly brave and vulnerable of all of us. And then in my mind, the next point of that is, okay, amazing. And is that a liability or an asset? In every single dynamic, and having the wherewithal, myself included, to look back and see like, whoo, so many things that I could and should have done differently in relationship, right? And also to your point, like that ability to reflect and hopefully have evolved with the intention of bringing that like that maybe rawness, but also like receptivity into whatever you're creating going forward.
Do you feel like there is, as women, that we are more programmed, or it's just kind of like innately in our DNA that we are more, I'm trying to figure out the right way to put this, that we're more passive. And I don't feel like that's the right word. But what I mean is, one of the things that I know I've caught myself doing more recently is, it's like, I'll know something. Like, I know my boundaries. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I will and I will not do. But it's like, I have had a couple of moments where after the fact, I'm like, oh, why didn't I say this at this point? Why did I let it get to that point? And I'm just talking about like conversations. I feel like I'm so good, you know, at 30 minutes after I'm no longer in the same room as that person. I'm like, so like, are we like programmed to be more like, oh yeah, okay, like not wanting to like rock the boat?
I think as women, we are socialized to be extremely accommodating.
Yeah.
And that's the word, also, I guess, not necessarily conflict avoidant, but to maintain the peace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And dating is such an initiation through that because of the example that you just gave. Because without what I call the swift sword of discernment,
yes, like I need to use
blink,
that.
You could blink, and 2 years has gone by, and you're still listening to that conversation or excuse or line of reasoning or whatever. And so it's really, I jokingly say dating is a spiritual practice because that's also the spiritual piece is part of my work. But the reality in that expression is it's such an initiation for women on getting real in tune with our intuition, trusting it, and then acting on it. And that's the piece that we learn the lesson as many times as it takes.
Totally. Right? It's the acting. It's the acting and being able to go, oh, okay, well, like, I'm going to call this.
Totally. And this is where I think it actually can get really efficient because
efficient. I love that. Yes.
The less time and energy any of us are giving to any dynamic that's just not it.
Yes.
The more likely, obviously, you're available to whatever is.
And no, it's so true.
It's super tricky until it's not. I feel like this is a piece that can be kind of where we're like evasive with ourselves, letting things slide and like, you know, making an excuse or something like that until it bites you in the ass one time too many. And you're like, okay, this is now a self-advocacy practice. Actually.
Yes.
Right.
But it has to be. And I don't know if you experience this, but like I listen to the advice that I give my single friends and I'm like, you better remember that. You better remember that when you're in this position, you know, because I'm like, man, that was really good advice. I need to take that advice.
Yeah. All of us. I mean, I feel like the beauty of sisterhood among women friends is the crowdsourcing of clarity when it comes to dating. Because if you're not in a group chat as backup support, I don't know what you're doing.
No kidding. Right? I know. And sometimes it's so tough when you're hearing a friend tell a story about a guy that she went on a date with or whatever. And I mean, I remember a couple of months ago, I was with a couple of friends and this girl was telling a story about a guy she had gone on a date with and then she hadn't heard from him and she had heard from him right after, but then she hadn't heard from him in a couple of days. And she's like, do you think I should text him? And I literally felt like I was in that episode of Sex and the City where whoever Carrie was dating was like, oh, he's just not that into you. So I finally was like, do you want my honest opinion right now? And she was like, yeah. I was like, he had a good time on the date with you, but he doesn't like you. If he wanted to go out with you again, if he had that good of a time, he already would have locked in the second date. And she was like, do you really think that? And I was like, I believe that with everything in my being.
I mean, reflections like that from girlfriends are invaluable. Some of the wisest advice I got from a dear friend, she was like, here, there's a little tough love coming right up. With all due respect, you should not be confused. At no point in the dating journey is confusion the frequency that we're going for. So
totally.
If you're confused, that's not it. The confusion piece is the red flag. Say no more.
It is
but it's
funny
when you're in it.
So true. And I've seen that actual like quote like floating around Instagram. And there's nothing that is more true. If a guy likes you, you will know.
Totally.
Period.
Wait, tell us the story of the date and the paying situation.
Oh, God. I went out on a date. This is actually a good story. We were having a great time. I had already decided to like sell my house and go on this, you know, journey of traveling and everything. And so I wasn't really thinking like, oh, is this going, could this be something? I was just more like, this sounds like fun. So we have a great time. We eat a lot of great food. He gets up to use the restroom, comes back, the bill's on the table. I'm sitting there and he's like, hey, I've had such a great time. And I'm like, thanks, me too. And he's like, I'd really like to pay for dinner. And I go, yeah, I expect you to. Like, what? Like, and he's like, okay, good. I just wanted to let you know. And I'm like, well, I'm so glad we're aligned. So glad we're on the same page. Thanks.
I think men are getting a lot of mixed messages from women.
Yeah.
I had something similar but different. So this was interesting. I think this was a first date and we had connected on an app. And this guy messages and is like, okay, hear me out. I would love to go to this particular restaurant that's a really nice restaurant. And he's like, I know this is just a first date, but I love this place. It sounds like it's convenient to you. Great. And I'm like, this is a fantastic restaurant. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have this wonderful meal, a couple rounds of drinks, whatever, and the bill comes. And by that point in time, we're having a great connection, conversation, the works. So I'm super relaxed. I'm like leaning back in my chair, holding my cocktail, whatever. And the bill comes and he says, do you want to split the bill? And I'm leaning back in my chair with the drink. And this man has initiated this and acknowledged that this is an incredible, nice restaurant. Do you want to split the bill? And I just go, no.
Good for you. You're like, you invited me here.
Exactly. Thank you. And then later he goes, that was hot. And I'm like, why is this confusing?
Right?
Why is this?
You're like, what? Would you have been turned off if I would have said, sure?
Right. Wow. So needless to say, that didn't go anywhere. But I thought it was such an interesting dance. Like it's kind of like they are unsure of where we're at and trying to feel it out. That's my assessment. I don't know, but it's wild out there.
Maybe. I mean, maybe that is. I don't know. I just feel like I'm old school enough where if a man asks me out on a date, then like I assume that like he is wanting to take me out, which means like picking up the bill and also like holding the door open. You know, like I still like those little things. And I don't think that they don't matter. I think they do matter.
I think they do matter. I think they do matter. Do you have any example of a great date in terms of how it went, no matter the relational outcome after?
Let's see. Yeah, I've had a few good dates. Oh my God. It's so funny to me. Let me tell this story because it is seriously. So this man, and I will give him credit because he was definitely on his own evolutionary journey from what little time we spent together and what information he did share with me. First of all, he was in a marriage for a very long time. I think like 25 years or something. He had been out of it for about 5 years at that point. He'd had a little bit of a glow up. You know, he was taking really good care of himself and he looked really good. But it sounded like in his marriage, he was emasculated quite often. And it sounded like his ex-wife was very much in her masculine and didn't really allow him to be the leader and the provider and to do all of these things. But that was ultimately like his end goal. Like I took a look at some of the people he follows on Instagram. Like he's really like trying. So all of that being said, he wasn't exactly as far as he wanted to be on that journey. And I didn't know that, obviously, because I had just met him. So he lived in Southern California. He invited me to come down and take me to dinner. I'll get you a hotel. I'll plan dinner. I'm like, awesome. So a few days later, we're texting and he was like, all right. He was like, for dinner, cocktail dress, heels. And when you get on the plane to fly down, Lululemon, leggings, top, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, that's kind of hot. I'm down, which is what I would be wearing on the plane anyway. But then I was like, oh, okay, cool. If he wants me to like dress up, this is exciting. I wonder where we're going to go. When I tell you that the universe was looking out for me and made it rain the day and night that I was going to be there, because had it not been projected to pour down rain, I would have shown up for dinner looking like I was ready to go out in Vegas. Thank God it was raining. So I was just in like a nice black dress, tights, boots, had a jacket, because he took me to a restaurant that had literally not been updated since it opened in probably the mid 90s. The lighting was atrocious. We walked in. There was a table of women who were probably like in their 60s having their holiday dinner, all in Christmas sweaters, trading presents, which is, I think, charming. So I'm not like making fun of that. I'm just like setting the stage for what it looked like in there. If I would have walked in a dress that I should have been wearing to like, what's that, you know, Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant in West Hollywood, they would have been like, oh, is she a hooker? Where did you find her?
What was this, just like a fantasy situation? I don't know.
I think he was really trying to evolve into this very like masculine type man.
It's so interesting, the standards or lack thereof, the mismatch or match of standard and expectation is such a thing. And I don't know about you, but I know within 5 minutes if I'm even staying for a drink or a meal, because it's one thing to communicate in message or on an app or whatever. But when you show up and this is, you know, theoretically everybody's kind of best effort, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a first date and you assess that and that is absolutely a mismatch.
Yeah.
I mean, again, now we're back to the efficiency piece. But did you stay for the meal? Did you stay?
Because I was kind of stuck. I wasn't where I lived. So I was like, well, I mean, we can have dinner. And we did have nice conversation and everything. I was just more dying laughing internally because I was like, I'm so glad it's raining. If it wasn't raining, I would have looked so, and I would have been fine. But like, I would have had a moment of like total like terrified embarrassment. Like, wow, I mean, this is cool. Like grandmas in their Christmas sweaters are here exchanging their favorite things, Christmas gifts. And I am in a dress that is appropriate for sir up in West Hollywood. No, but you make such a good point about like expectations. And I could go down so many rabbit holes as far as all types of relationships go. But I think at the end of the day, everything boils down to communication and expectations. And it's not only communication when you're deep into a relationship, but communication from the jump and making sure that, you know, that what's the bare minimum is already at the table before you even go and like meet up with somebody. I mean, I like to hear people's voices. I mean, I do it with podcasting, right? I have a discovery call so I can see like, hey, can we actually have a conversation?
Right.
So I think that it's really important because the worst thing is when you show up and you meet someone and it's like that awkward. So
like,
how's the weather? You know, and you're both like, oh my God, I want to leave so bad.
Yeah. No, I love the voice thing too. You can get a lot. I don't know. There's an energy that you can tap into from that. And it's like one more layer of the human beyond just the freaking app. Which everyone can, to a degree, make themselves look and sound appealing on an app. I mean, it's an app.
Oh.
The fine line of that, like not spending too much time messaging, get to the date, but also get the information that you want to make sure you want to fool with the date and then keeping it moving one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like you've experienced any type of I don't know if shame is the right word or judgment is the right word, but anything like along that line of like, oh, you got married young. And even I even think you got divorced young, right? 33, that's not old by any means. Did you feel any sort of shame or judgment as you've kind of aged and you've gone through your life's journey with not only your career, but with dating as well and relationships that where people are like, you didn't get married again, or you haven't found someone, or even do you feel like anybody's felt bad for you? Or you feel like people feel sorry for you and for whatever reasons?
I have not gotten that from another person. I was doing that to myself.
Hey, quick pause to say this. If this conversation resonates and you're craving a space to go deeper, come join me inside Rewritten, the private Patreon community for The Scarlet Edit. It's where we talk more openly about what our love lives actually look and feel like. You'll get access to live Q&As, behind-the-scenes conversations, and a community of women just like you. No judgment, no shame, just real connection. You can join us at the link in the show notes. We'd love to have you there. Ooh, okay, like, share more.
Just being really brutally judgmental around being so young and getting married, and then being, in air quotes, so young and getting divorced. And I, thank goodness, have healed through that. But several years ago, that was such a thing. So it was interesting because that was not being reflected back to me socially or culturally, because like we talked about, it's so common.
Yeah.
And so this is my interpretation. I may be way off track, but I would like to think, like I was saying, I consider that a green flag, you know, like if somebody and married, yes, in the past, absolute green flag. But at the very least, like having been in rich long-term relationships, right?
Yeah.
I didn't experience any of that from anybody else, and certainly not on my dating journey. But I had to navigate myself through that as a bigger healing thing of having at the time, being so young, followed what I thought was the societally prescribed mm-hmm. path. And right. I did it right. Like on paper, I did it right. And then why mm-hmm. am I like 34 getting yeah. on Tinder?
Right, right. Like what's happening here?
Totally. Looking for my first post-divorce apartment again. So yeah. all of that, honestly, Nikki, was self-induced. It did not come externally, which That's I awesome. Think speaks to like how much we internalize the whole yeah. should of all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting reflection because, you know, one of the things that's super important to me with this podcast is to talk through like the societal shame that some women feel for whatever reasons they feel it. And for like one of the things that I mean, we all are judgmental beings, right? And like you can catch yourself when you have that moment of judgment. Like even with affairs, I can't judge anybody for having an affair, obviously, but like I do catch myself being like, oh God, no, don't do that. And it's not because I'm like, oh my God, like having an affair is such a bad thing. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm more saying I look at the woman and I'm like, you deserve so much more than this. And now I'm like, oh, now I get what my friends were feeling when I was in that. I'm more really wanting to understand what people have felt. And I love that you brought up that it was you felt everything, but it was because of your own self versus feeling it from society or feeling it from family or friends or whatever that may be. So that is really, really big. And I'm so glad that you were able to acknowledge it because, you know, sometimes we can't acknowledge our feelings until someone else points it out to us.
Totally. No, I look back now and truly have very little, if any, regret about all of my just life choices to date, but including I don't regret getting married. I don't regret getting divorced. Yeah. I think that was one of the best, most liberating and true to me decisions I could have possibly made. Mm-hmm. And I had all manner of unhealthy relationship dynamics thereafter and mm-hmm. also learned from every single one. So it took like longer than I thought or longer than I hoped to get to a place of being like available to healthy relationship. But for better or for worse, like, so much of the journey was absolutely critical for me to get to a place where I could even be available to a healthy dynamic.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that's so smart. And I think that that's something that women do so much more easily than men is like stop after a relationship ends and really like focus inward and self-reflect and work on ourselves and then try to like go back out there. You know, it's like, I mean, I think about the different, I mean, one of the things that I mentioned as I was telling my story on the kickoff episodes of this podcast is that, you know, some of these men, they get out of these long-term marriages and then it's like they're immediately on the dating apps. It's like, have you had a chance to take a deep breath? Do you even know who you are or who you want to aspire to be at this phase of your life? You haven't been single since your early 20s. You know, there's so much that's changed, not only in the world, but you as a man. So I think that that piece of it is so interesting. I feel like women, we so much more are like, no, I'm going to take time for myself. I'm going to do all of these things. And I love that for us.
Well, and then it's the classic thing that you hear about everybody finding their person the moment they stop looking because you've arrived at a place in your life that you're like, I'm actually so good with what I have created for myself that I'm finally authentically only available if you are additive, if this is an enhancement, an asset situation in both directions, right? Me post-divorce 10 plus years ago was – I didn't know it at the time, but in this like this vacancy kind of dating state, when the opposite is so empowered and empowering and lets you up to actually be truly happy in your life. And then, this relationship is one more enhancement as opposed to this fill this void kind of thing, which is easy to get into.
I know. I mean, I'm totally with you there too. Like, you know, if somebody asked me like, what is it that I want someone that's going to add to what I've already created because I don't want a project. I don't want to be along someone else's like divorce journey. Like I've already done that. I've been there. And I want someone that, you know, has things in common with me too. I mean, I haven't been on a dating app in a very long time, but I remember at one point when I was, and this guy like asked me about traveling, and he was like, yeah, like I'm finally gonna, you know, get my passport this year. And I was like, you don't have one? You know? And so for me, I was just like, oh, wow. I mean, cause you know, even traveling is it, you learn. I mean, I learn every single time I go somewhere and I always make a mistake. Like there's always something I'm learning. I don't even want to be somebody's airport Sherpa. You know, I want you to know how to get through the airport.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, there's these like, you know, prerequisites that we get to create for ourselves and hold. And that's kind of goes back to what you were talking about towards the beginning around being in this accommodating, compromising state versus not, such that you're actually like getting toward what you want. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine you like facilitating someone's first time out of the country, for example. Right? That, no. In my mind, knowing you sounds like your actual nightmare.
Totally. Totally.
Fascinating. And it's like, it's such a, sociological experiment just to be out there dating and seeing how all of us live our lives.
No, and it is so true, because one of the pieces of advice that I always give my friends, and again, going back to the like, you better say this to you too, is it's you're not going on a date just hoping that he will like you. You're going on a date to see if you also like him. Is he worthy of your time? Does he add value to you? Can you have a nice conversation? Does he show you respect? All of these different things. It's not just about going on a date and going, oh my gosh, I hope he likes me. But then also we are all analyzing every little thing. Our brains are going a million miles an hour.
100%. Yeah. I think it goes back a little bit to just women being socialized to be more accommodating in this pick me energy, right?
Yeah,
which that expression has taken off. But then there's something really deeper to it around like both parties being in the seat of the chooser, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's this collective decision as opposed to somebody allegedly completing somebody else, right? Which is the basis for an actual freaking nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about the whole like completing. I feel pretty whole myself. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. Like I'm not like, oh, come complete me. I'm like, come add to all of this cool stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, there, I feel like also that's a maturity thing and that's an age thing and that's an experience.
Yeah.
Thing that's truly like, okay, I'm the one being discerning and hopefully the other person is being discerning, as opposed to everybody focused on how one person is or isn't going to move or continue, you know?
Yeah. And I think like the first few dates are so important to like really kind of see like, okay, like, do I feel like this person is going to be, you know, is this person what I'm actually looking for versus like, does he like me? And I think that's just so important, especially as we're in our 40s.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And everybody's lives are more established. Like things that I was willing to compromise on, authentically so, back in the day, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Right. 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 So yeah.
There's that component too. I don't know. I mean, I have gone through phases where I have been really prioritizing dating. And I have also gone through phases where I'm like, I have nominal energy and availability for this right now. And both have proven illuminating, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, I mean, I know for me, when I got out of my last relationship, it took me like a good year to actually just understand the dating landscape and like what it actually is like, and to almost develop some toughness around it, if that makes sense. Because I'm so delusional that I'm like, if someone's telling me nice things, of course they're telling me all these nice things. Like, I'm amazing.
Obviously.
And then they're like, no, he's love bombing you. And I'm like, oh, you know, so it like took a good year for me to actually like understand all of that. And then, you know, during that time, I was like working on myself and doing all these other things. And then I was kind of even more like, okay, I want to work on myself more. Cause like, this is actually like seeing the fruits of my labor, you know, this is enjoyable, you know, and dating is, it's exhausting.
It can be exhausting. Yeah. I feel like when I got out of my last long-term relationship, that relationship had been so over for so long that I was ready to date within a few months after that, because the recovery part had been underway while the relationship was dissolving.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, heck yeah, let me get back out there and be in the presence of another type of guy, you know? So, but I mean, it's so different and it's so interesting coming out of relationship. You know, back to the shame piece, is there an element of, gosh, here I am again? Or is it like, wow, this is one more step closer, maybe, what I'm actually seeking?
Yeah. Well, I prefer to think of it as the latter because the former is just sad.
Totally.
It can be such a roller coaster, but I totally get what you mean about being ready to date like sooner than, you know, not long after something ended. Because I think as women too, like oftentimes we start to mourn something and start to get over something while we're still involved in it. And I think sometimes, you know, women are the ones that try and try and try to make something work until the final straw. And then we start getting over it before, you know, you've actually ended it. So,
no, totally. That's 100% my experience.
Again, it just goes back to communication. I just wish there could be better communication.
I think that's the tale as old as time, right?
It is. It is.
Such a thing. It's such a thing.
It and really,
maybe
really
that's an asset of dating in midlife is less tolerance for anything that you're just not available to. And maybe a greater fortitude or willingness to name the thing and spit it out and be like, hi, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and that takes practice. And I think that it also comes when you've reached a state of like non-attachment to the whole freaking process where you're like so discerning that you're like, this is absolutely a yes for me. And this is such a hard no. And I don't have the energy to be waffling or playing in the middle. You know, so maybe that's an asset of being at midlife on the dating journey.
No, I think you're right because I look over the last 2 years of being like on this journey and the things that I have gone through and ended up learning as a result. And oftentimes like different things where it's like it's ended with me hitting the block button after sending like the final text. But I think that that's like, ooh, okay, like I learned this now. And now this is totally a boundary. And this is totally a boundary. And I'm not playing these stupid types of games or, you know, entertaining this type of conversation because it's just stupid and it's unenjoyable.
Kind of makes me laugh / cringe at how I was dating years and years ago
yeah.
in terms of not having that ability to communicate at all and just getting so unnecessarily messy. And I think the zero fucks is a superpower of midlife.
Oh my God, it truly is the greatest thing ever. And I feel like with every single day that goes by, I'm just like, oh, I don't care. That is literally, I feel like there's a little drummer in the back of my head all day just going, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care because I just don't.
I think it's you literally only need 1% more than your fear.
Yeah.
1%
more. 1% more. Yeah.
Whatever it is, 1% more than your fear. And we can rally that. You can generate that out of thin air for yourself.
Totally. And just believing in what it is that you're doing. And I think like that is super important and so exciting that if you get to that point where you believe so wholeheartedly in what it is that you're doing and what it is that you're building and that you just show up for it every single day, I mean, you never know what could happen.
And then the relational piece is an asset. It's just an asset. Yeah. It's such a foundational piece that also gets to be a total enhancement.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I look at. Like I look at even just this last year of my life and I thought like there was somebody that I had met last year in the springtime and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's really cool. And like I hadn't had a crush like that in a while. And I was just like, oh wow, like maybe, you know, maybe this will turn into something. Like who knows? And then it didn't. And that's totally okay because I look back and I'm like, oh my God, if that had worked out, I don't know that this year would have been, I don't know that I'd be right here right now
right,
having
totally.
This conversation, doing this, making this podcast into what I believe that it can be and being so passionate about something. And I'm just, when I think about it from that perspective, I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God that didn't work out because I love this. So that's always a nice feeling.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. It makes me think of that movie, Sliding Doors. And you can just envision how vastly different things can go at any given moment. And I mean,
any
my God,
moment.
The relationship, the partnership is huge in that. I mean, because it affects every element of your life.
every element of your life. We all are on these paths. And if you, you know, listen to what's going on the inside, and if you decide to just go for it, then you end up on the path that you're meant to end up on. Like, I feel like ever since I made this choice to put myself out into the world like this, the sense of alignment that I have felt and the things that have been coming my way are so just like, oh shit, this is amazing. And it just gives me more and more confidence and more reinforcement that this is exactly what I'm meant to be doing right now.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Well, and speaking of all that, thank you so much for wanting to be a part. I appreciate you. Oh my gosh,
I love this conversation. I am obsessed with this whole topic, and I love that you have brought this into the world.
Thank you so much for being here, and tell everyone how they can get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you and who you are.
Absolutely. I am all over the internet, for better or for worse, at Elizabeth Rowan Yoga. You can connect with me at ElizabethRowanYoga.com, Elizabeth Rowan Yoga on Instagram and other socials.
All of Elizabeth's information will be in the show notes. You guys, thank you so much for being here. And please let me know what you thought about this episode. Like I've mentioned, this is all for you. I want to build a great community. I want to have good conversations around all types of relationships, dating, divorce, affairs, engagement, successful relationships. So I love hearing from you. Thank you to everyone who has been a part from day one, and we will talk to you next week.